Welcome to Course in Miracles.
Ooh, we get two.
So here you are, here you find yourself, here you have arrived, yet another box. This room, it's just a box, right? And there's an inside and there's an outside. It makes it really easy to figure out if you're inside, because it looks different in here than out on the street. Obviously, it's great.
You want to run that by me again?
It's got a street address. You know, it's not your house. The barn studio where we meet is not your house. You're here. It's got the pillows you recognize. Jay hasn't been here for quite a while, but he says, I know I'm here. I'm not second guessing. He knows. Inside and outside. Inside and outside. There's even a door on it. Here you are in this box, and would you know that the world is a similar box? Everything your eyes see tells you you're here in the world, just like you know you're here in the Course in Miracles meeting. There's proof, certainty, that you're inside. When you look in the mirror, you see a body. You don't even check anymore to see if it's your body, because it's so obvious, right? Right. You wave, it waves back exactly the same. Gotcha. No, that's me. Don't ever check that anymore. Big assumption going on that's so automatic, it's not challenged. It doesn't need to be. You're in that box. We call a body. You're in it. Just like there's an outside to this room, there's an outside to your body. Now, A Course in Miracles says, rather than thinking out there, in further. In further we go. Not a lot of times you meditate, you know, and you might think of heaven and out there above the clouds and everything. That's fine. But every once in a while, flip that. Because that's the Course in Miracles has us meditate. Is have us go in and down. Instead of up and out to heavens and gods and some place else. Just keep that in the back of your mind. But let's go back now to our box. The inside of the box and the outside of the box. You got one in this room. You got one in that body. You got one on this earth. And it turns out that everything you think is real, everything you think is real, it's just a box. Got an inside and it's got an outside. Of Course in Miracles, we're in a tidy little section here that's introducing to us, the last 2 weeks we've been looking at the idea of vision as opposed to sight. Sight is what you do with your brain and your eyeballs, which are directly connected to the brain. Eyes report, the brain thinks, it judges, it perceives from the past and says, ah, that's my car. I know it's the right color, it's the right size, it's where I parked it. I'm getting in. It's all that level. Get in that box. Because it's the right one. That's sight. Okay? Of Course in Miracles introduces the idea of the word vision is not with the eyes. It's with the mind. It's what you would need in order to see outside the box. The box that is everything you now believe is true. Everything your eyes see. Everything your brain remembers is that box. We're in a section of the course that invites you to find the part of your mind that doesn't use eyes. I don't know, it sounds like crazy talk, but if you've been in this book a little bit, you know that there is more to you than your body. Not only is the body least of what you are, it's none of what you are. Just to break it to the new girl, softly. You're not a body. You are free. You're still as God created you. Now get over it. That's the gentle way, right? Because the other way is misery. To be stuck in the box of a body in time and space. It doesn't take long living in this world to visit all the limits that there are. And even when you get some pleasures, they're fleeting because of the limits that are designed in as the laws of the world. But, of course, in miracles and me and everybody sitting next to you is here to tell you there's another way. This is a spiritual meeting because we go beyond the material in our discussions. Which is also why there's not more people here. Because that is loony stuff to the world. That you have an identity that's not your body. And yet, people who've studied this book, Ben's class maybe, and neuro meditations, some little light triggered in you that says, ah, wait a minute. For a minute there, I felt really free. For a minute there, I was beyond time and space in my body. I felt it. Once that miracle happens, which is a shift in perception of what you are, once that happens, there's no going back. You can deny it, but you cannot forget it. It never goes away. Which is why a lot of people will pick up this book, see how hard it is to read, stay with it because there's something in there, and then throw it out for 4 or 5 years. But then they pick it up again. The little light got turned on in a very dark space, and it hadn't, you know, it's an awakening. But it's looking outside of the box that otherwise you would not challenge. That's what we do here. Not with the body's eyes, but with your mind. And so with that, let's take a few moments. And yet again, we're going to think about this idea of vision. It's so important to be able just to give a word to this other means of perception, which is so critical to your freedom. So let's take a few moments. Think about vision as opposed to sight with the body's eyes. What is this vision with your mind? Course in Miracles says there's nothing so blinding as the perception of form. What is vision? Course in Miracles says, if you want to know what you believe, just look around. But what is vision? Course in Miracles says, your private thoughts have made your own personal private hell. But what is vision? If eyes can deceive, and words are but symbols of symbols, How does this word vision bring the truth? And now, if you would, think about this for a minute. Come up with a word or a phrase that works for you tonight. Do an investigation in your own mind. Give me an aspect of vision, how you can perceive without using your eyes. What is a way that you perceive with your mind? You can just pick an example of how you can perceive an aspect of something or somebody with your mind without seeing it. In other words, it's invisible. What's an example of how you see with your mind? Give yourself this gift tonight if you can. And recognize how much your mind is present. And actually guides you. Even your wrong mind, it's okay. Recognize how you're guided via the invisible so much in this world even. Some circles call it the third eye. Of Course in Miracles, when it was first being crafted through Helen, had another term was coming out in the scribing, and it was spiritual eye. And later they decided to scrub that and they came up with Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, you know, is the way you look at the same thing that your eyes look at, but translate it and see the holiness. See the love instead of the fear and the hate. Literally a shift in perception. That's what a miracle is in this book. Can you, anybody, you can say pass. This might be a tough one. I understand. But we'll try to go around the room. And can you describe something where your mind sees? It's invisible. You use your mind to see something instead of your eyes?
Yeah, it does. When you first said that, my mind went, like the eagle's like, oh, no, you did. But what I get from it is just like, and it comes across almost like an illusion. What are you going to do next? It's like, you're going to read that book. Hmm. It's just like, what are you going to do? It's almost not describable, but you get this feeling, and you know this is where you're going.
Ooh, I like it.
You know?
Yes, yes.
Like, when I first started getting this, it was like, we were looking at something else, but it told me, no, you're going to go here, and you're going to read these books, and this is what you want to do. Whatever, and it, for me, I like whatever book I read next. And I look at all this stuff. Like the other day, I was looking, got all these books, and it almost shows my whole life and this whole massive, like you can fill the freaking walls of this room with all the books I have. And I'm just like going, whoa. So this whole section of stuff I was reading, this is now obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling me, this is all obsolete. This is no use for it. I mean, you can go ahead and do whatever you want with it, but it's not important.
With a sense of certainty.
Yeah,
you picked up this. You heard in your mind.
That's actually the word I was looking for. You'll get a certain and absolute. This is what, and that's it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
But it's like I really can't. When I try to explain it, it just goes blank.
Yeah. Especially the book you haven't read. It's invisible. You don't even know what's in it.
Yeah.
That's a good example. That's a kind of intuition.
I get an image, kind of like.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I'm getting that.
Yeah.
It's not the word, but it's more like this. Yeah. Sort of an image.
Yeah. People call it intuition.
Too.
You get this unseen sense.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going.
Yeah. And I go, well, people are like, what is it? I don't know.
Nice.
But here I go.
Yep. Here I go.
Yep. Yeah. I'm gone. I'm walking down. That's what I do next.
Nice. Very good. Excellent. Thank
that's
you.
That's the only way I can perfect. Survive it.
Thank you. Bridget, there's something that you do with your mind.
what came to me was the term above the battleground.
Okay.
That seeing that there's so much more to being than just what we're doing here, you know, we get so hung up on little stuff, you know, arguments and
nice
mundane stuff.
Yes.
And it becomes such a big issue and our whole lives go around trying to do relationships and jobs and that's not who we are.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, my idea or this idea has given me a bit.
Are you telling me that in your own mind you can have a situation and take a third party perspective where you are down there on the battleground equally with another person on the battleground and yet your perspective is above it, seeing both fighting for their own interests equally? Wow. That's significant. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, don't underestimate the power of that shift in perception. Nice. Nice.
I was thinking of more having no boundaries, like there's no restrictions. Mm. Especially the thing I'm thinking of is more like peace, just like, for example, I was taking a walk with a friend today and we were talking about a bunch of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I finally just said, you know, but in the big thick of things, we're just so little.
Mm.
And does it really matter? So we changed our whole conversation.
Wow.
Well, why don't you know? Yeah.
Nice.
Why do we get upset about X, Y, Z? And
wow. So able to step back from the mud and the nitty gritty where it matters because there was a cost or an injury or a disappointment or whatever. There was some reason why it mattered, but you said, so small. A shift in perception, a shift in perspective happened in your mind. Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. Leverage out of the mud by taking a bigger perspective. Nice. Jeff.
My mind drifted towards the idea of the sixth sense, and you know, you've got your touch, sight, smell, taste, and hearing as how we perceive the world and see our boxes and define the boxes. But then, like, the sixth sense is that third eye, that you know, that all-seeing eye, you know, that's like you say, identity beyond the body. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like that sixth sense is my bridge to that reality.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of went from there through the idea of intention and intuition as a way of seeing beyond what we can touch and taste and smell.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know that if you look at something without your sixth sense now, you're denying something important.
Missing.
Blindly in the mud, looking at little details without stepping back and using the sixth sense to get a bigger... Because you've been there. You have stepped back. You put your mind around a situation before and said, wait a minute.
And I've also found that it's just as simple as asking when you're puzzled or perplexed or not exactly sure what the next step is, or not positive that your senses are giving you the right information, not sure that you're really perceiving things completely, which is always, then you ask that sixth sense for guidance. And that's kind of that conversation that I thought of while you were talking, is that process of, and that reminder to keep asking, to never, never ever for a minute think you are seeing what's really going on.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good reminder. Thank
you. Peeling to the bigger picture. I love it. Thanks, Jeff. Kenny?
Well, I need sandpaper for my key.
Okay.
Profound.
That's profound. Yeah. I like
it. My key to the mailbox didn't work because it's all rusty.
Yeah, okay.
I need sandpaper.
Huh. Take that.
Saw that, you know.
Yeah. You can apply a little sandpaper,
yeah,
and remove what's in the way. Yeah. And see, and you haven't done it yet, right?
No.
So it's key to still in work.
No.
It's too hard to. But
the rent's coming.
It's going to be time at some point to get the sandpaper so we can get into that box. Yeah. Yeah. You will be appealing to your faith as some sandpaper applied. You've got a vision in your head that there's rust on the key and that prevents the key from working in the lock. You have a vision in your head that's not yet happened, manifested. You have some faith, though. I can make it work. Yeah, you've seen it in your mind's eye. Julie, what do you see with your mind?
Well, my mind went to that there's not limit to it, like not small thinking.
Mm.
And I actually had also had a metaphor. So I was spent 5 days with my brother's family, and my little niece is 6, and my brother had warned me that she doesn't do goodbyes very well. So when I was, you know, he kind of warned that when I was getting close to leaving, like, she might act up or something. And so sure enough, she kind of got upset for a silly reason and sulked in another room, and we lost the last 30 minutes of what could have been playtime together. The last 25. In the last 5 minutes, she came around, and we spent those last 5 minutes together, but... you know, I was reflecting on that. Like, she didn't want me to leave, which is sort of like why she left, right? But what her goal was to have fun and to play, and like, she didn't want me to leave because she wanted to have fun and play.
Mm-hmm.
But then she like chose to leave the goal, right? Mm-hmm. The fun and the play. And I was thinking, like, I was initially just thinking, like, oh, it's funny how kids don't. Like, don't realize, they can't think, like, if this, then that. And but then I had a real aha. Like, the next morning I woke up and I realized, like, I am my niece,
uh-huh,
right? Like, in my spiritual journey, I block my own joy all the time.
Right.
And I was thinking how, you know, how many of us, even if we look at our lives, like, we waste the last 25 minutes. Or we waste,
nice,
you know,
yeah,
and then
sabotage.
Wake up 5 minutes before, you know, and so yeah, that was my, so like the limitlessness, like of what vision is. Like, I know that joy is there all the time, just like,
and yet how
take the blocks down,
like your knees, how comfortable, it's too comfortable to go into things like fear and guilt. When you feel fear and guilt, it's the opposite of what you want. Anybody here want to be afraid? Raise your hand. Anybody here want to be guilty? Raise your hand. And yet, how often does it happen? How easy, it's too easy here. Ego working its magic.
It's, I may have needed it when I drove the bus.
Yeah.
On Freedom Boulevard, was like, oh, shit, I could be in that ditch if I didn't wake up.
Yeah. Okay, and that's funny, but you remember, when we talk about fear in this room, it isn't fear of the body. Keep that going, you know, so you don't drive off a cliff or hit your thumb with a hammer. Watch out. You don't hit the nail instead. All right? We're talking about fear of the mind.
Yeah.
But still, very important. Good, always good to remember to make that distinction. That way you get kind of silly in the world. You could get silly with this book if you mix the levels. I'm not picking on you. I'm just taking a chance to teach this very important distinction. When we work in this book with the word judgment, it's the same thing. You're not a guilty sinner if you judge that one ice cream is better than another, or one oil in the supermarket, don't ever eat that. That's not what we're talking about. That doesn't mean you're a sinner. Judging stuff of the mind, peace of the mind. This is what we're after. Nothing in the world. Nothing in the world. Yes, yes, yes. Good, good.
We seem to draw in fear and guilt and anger and all that stuff. It doesn't seem like... It's not like it's happening to us. It's like we're causing it to happen. Mm-hmm. By some kind of... Maybe our ego wants it for us, so we bring it to ourselves.
It's just like you draw in English when you're in a crowd, because you speak English. And if there are other foreign speakers there, you're really going to hear the French and the German and the Romanian. You're not really, that's just some other language. But when somebody says English or your name, oh yeah, you draw that in. In the same way you draw in fear. Because you speak that language here. It's something that, it's a coin of the ego, fear and guilt. With the ego's thought system, you can actually buy things of value by making her guilty instead of you.
My daughter was telling me something that I did the other day, that three things that she didn't really like me having done. Mm-hmm. And I felt so guilty and so bad. And then I thought, just now when you were just saying that, I thought, you know, I could have just heard what she said and tried to do not to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling guilty about having done it.
That's right. That's right. You took the pain. It's obviously a pain. And you put a whole layer of suffering on top. How many weeks are you going to think about that interaction? Waking up in the morning thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, I didn't sleep well that night, so all night long at least.
We got one. Okay. We got one night. Okay. Right? And this we do to ourselves. Yep. 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 Your own personal private hell. That's what Course calls your private thoughts. Thank you, Julie. It's very insightful. To the addiction, like any other drug. Guilt and fear, and we sabotage, like that little girl did. We sabotage our own happiness, mm-hmm, out of these impulses, just like you said, with fear. It comes so quickly. It comes too easily, and yet it's not what you want. And the Course says that. You know, it's kind of annoying how it says that? It says, you do exactly what you don't want. You've heard that phrase. Because it's calling you out on being an addict. Addicts do. Actually, as you move along in the addiction, you do things you don't want. And yet, you did it again. It's the same with this. It's the same thing. The ego and fear and guilt and anger. Who wants to be anybody? Raise your hand. Want to be angry? And yet, how soon before your next anger fit?
Actually, some people do want to be angry. It motivates them.
Yeah.
Well, that's their excuse for being
angry.
That's
their excuse.
Very good. It's better than being depressed.
Well, it is true. This is true. This is true.
Or exactly. Wrong.
Who wants to be depressed? Anybody?
Or wrong.
I won't be angry, but if I get angry, then I won't be wrong.
That's so, right. I'll be right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
If I get angry,
and wrong is what you get wrong to change.
Yeah. Well, you're adding layers of things that you do not want.
Projection after projection.
Layers of things you do not want. And yet... How far to the next time you do it?
My daughter keeps asking me that. When are you going to stop doing that, Mom?
New girl, do you want to speak up?
Well, I always feel like I'm a little off base. I was creating my suffering, but wow, I was listening everyone share. And then I thought, I went in a completely different direction. When you suggested pick a word, and then more is always better, so I wanted to pick three words.
Oh.
So I chose three words to describe how I can stop being so little, you know, in the box,
yeah,
in this box. And it's, with openness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And limitless expansion.
Yes.
You know, and it's kind of like imagining You know, like, somebody used the term stepping back. Uh-huh. When I pause and step back, it's kind of like what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing totally changes.
Nice.
And I've been, you know, running fast and furious most of my life. Yeah. And it's really sweet now.
Yeah.
Because I know in the stillness, things can disappear without a struggle.
They just disappear.
They disappear.
The most, the things you're struggling, we're struggling and fighting with, by doing nothing, which is not so easy, but by doing nothing, so much of it disappears. Isn't that interesting? But that would take some faith in your mind to step back and go still. Very good. Jay!
Well, I noticed right away when at the beginning of the meditation that I was looking at the meditation exercise like a riddle or a puzzle that I needed to solve. And so I started, with my eyes closed, I was thinking, how do you visualize like the box and judge it when your eyes are closed? And I started by just using my other senses. Going, okay, well, I can hear the sound echoing off the walls. Then I use my memory. Well, I remember when my eyes were open, the dimensions of the room and this and that. I was just aware that I was just scrambling to use other senses to substitute for sight.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about the phrase ludicrous popped in. Like in neon letters, because I just feel so much like I'm trapped in the meat prison all the time.
Yeah.
And I noticed that I have a nervous twitch or an involuntary spasm in my right anterior deltoid and my shoulder muscle, and which is a lot more noticeable when my eyes are closed and I'm just breathing normally, because it just keeps reminding me, like, hey, I'm trying to get out of the meat prison. Hey,
hey, I'm come out to the shoulder.
Let's get another one over here. You know, that was spasms. And just thinking about that, all the how the body keeps me trapped in the body, the awareness of the body, and just the language we use. Saying like I, you know, talking about I hurt my finger. Mm-hmm. I started doing it. I kind of went from that to a visualization exercise that's actually a memory technique called the Roman room, where you go into a room just in your mind, a room that you're familiar with. There's four corners, four walls, a floor and a ceiling, which equals 10, and you can place an image in each corner that reminds you of what you're trying to memorize, like say a deck of cards. And if you've been in the house before, you can walk from room to room in your mind with your eyes. It works better if you close your eyes when you do this exercise. Mm-hmm. And that's a true visualization exercise, because you're actually using just your imagination.
Aha.
And they say the more senses you use, like a sense of movement, a sense of color, sound, as many different things as you can, so that image isn't just boring and bland, or you'll forget it, but it's very striking.
Yes, yes.
And so that was kind of when it shifted from being stuck in the meat prison to realizing that there are ways to escape.
Yeah, right.
And especially in dealing with other people. Mm-hmm. Just that illusion that, you know, I'm over here and you're over there is so strong.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm protecting and defending. Yeah. It's like sometimes I do like being afraid. When I'm in the gym and I'm about to lift heavy weight, it's frightening in a fun way. Uh-huh. And it also, just like not driving into the ditch, it's smart to be afraid on that level.
Yep.
But to just have this low level or high level fear
Yep.
That's not attached to anything. But it seems so. It seems just as real as driving into a ditch or getting crushed by some weight.
Yes.
And it's just a bunch of baloney.
The mistake is that that's alive. That fear means you're alive.
Mm. Yes.
That's the mistake.
Yeah.
And as we're mixing levels, we want to learn not to mix levels. Mm. We will. That's what we're doing here. The course is really consistent on this, so you will wake up from that. But I like what you said, which is you closed your eyes and you immediately search for another way.
And
you close your eyes.
Oh, no, it's not.
And
the
you
eyes.
Immediately search. Hang on, you close your eyes. Immediately, he searched for another way. It wasn't like there; it was blank, which is a common fear. Immediately, he searched for another way, as you will, as your mind does. And so what we're trying to learn here, the Course in Miracles, is to close your eyes on the way you see your problems and let the Holy Spirit's vision see for you. That will be the other way. That'll be the Roman room. That'll be this tool. If you use a Course in Miracles, there's all sorts of other ways. All right, the Holy Spirit will use whatever it is you're reading at the time. And the visualizations will begin to occur. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in whatever way you can afford at the time. With A Course in Miracles, we've got 365 lessons, and we're learning the language of the Holy Spirit. We're learning the words of the Holy Spirit so that we have a meeting ground. We have an altar that you can bring your stuff to, and you know that the Holy Spirit will meet you there and will throw out the useless, will take the useful, and will find the love and will go forward without fear. That's what we're going to do. This meeting place that we're building with this book. You would anyway. If it wasn't Course in Miracles, it'd be something else. This is just written down so that, you know, you can follow the path. There's a path that's made, but there's as many paths as there are those who seek. When he closed his eyes, he immediately searched for another way. And boom, he went into visualization. He remembered other ways he's used his mind, and he was out of the meat sack. Good job. Well, what are some things that you see with your mind?
Well, my definition of perception is to see beyond form.
Nice.
To see through form, or to see through appearances.
Yeah.
And it's an insight into what is behind all that stuff.
Nice. Insight. Yes. Beyond. My favorite spiritual words. Is beyond. Because if you didn't look beyond, you would only see the foreground with the eyes. You would be in the box, blinded, and not beyond, but within. How small is that? Yeah. Beyond. I love it. Luann, what's an example of how you see
it? I have a whole thing of what I was going to say and then I've forgotten.
Perfect. What's kind of coming out is going to be fresh.
Okay.
You can always pass, too, if it's too much of a headache.
No, it's not a headache. I get a sense, when I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and I get a sense of truth that verifies it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sense of truth. It's not
sense.
An understanding necessarily.
Nice.
It's just a sense that this word I'm hearing now is truth.
Yes. A sense of not an understanding. I love how you qualified that. It's like David here.
Well, he's the first one that said something that was exactly what I was going to say, and I was going to expand on it.
Yeah.
Remember what you said.
He says he kind of gets this direction. He gets kind of an intuition. He gets this book.
Right.
He had other books he was going to go for.
I get messages like that.
But it was clear.
It was messages, but it's not my brain giving messages, because I don't know where they came from, for one thing.
Right.
And for another thing, they feel absolutely true.
feels, it's a sense, it feels true. It's got some sort of peace in it. It's got, you know, different quality. Than, you didn't know, he didn't know about this book. Hadn't read it.
Exactly.
But he's got this confident, peaceful, I like to say, gently overwhelming. That's how I know it's the Holy Spirit. Or it's a pull instead of a push. The ego pushes. Ego says, you better read this book because Stefan has already read it. You already paid for it, so you may as well use it. And that's the ego pushing, 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 right? Holy Spirit says it's an invitation, it's a pull. It's a sense.
I wrote something, I think I used the word pull in just a minute. It says, I've been looking for someone who really loves me and not finding it in this world. Love is drawing me to, drawing, pulling to me as there is pain without it.
Yeah.
If it's not truth, then I have pain.
Yeah.
When it is truth, I don't.
Yeah.
So I have tears either way. When there's truth, I cry.
Yeah.
When there isn't truth, I also cry.
Yeah.
So, but the one that has pain with it, I know that's not true.
You know the difference.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank goodness. You know, like we like to rehearse every once in a while. The fact that truth has gravity, you know, how gravity works. You get a large object, you get closer to it, you get drawn into it. It's gravity.
Some magnetic pulling, yeah, like
a magnet.
Right.
The truth has
you can
it.
Also pick up one and go, oh, don't need that one.
Yeah.
You can pick up one and go,
yeah.
It, like I got piles of them sitting around. I go, you know, and your ego doesn't want to let go of them. But it's time just to pack them up and give them the Salvation Army.
Uh huh. Because you have
sell
moved away,
or whatever you want to do.
You, whatever you are, which is also invisible, has now moved away from that influence. It's invisible. Truth has that. So does fear, by the way. We're talking about laws of mind here. When you start to get afraid and you start to think, uh-oh, this could go wrong. And then you think, uh-oh, what if it already did go wrong? And I'm just realizing that. You're getting closer, aren't you? You're getting sucked in and fast. What if nobody's telling me and it's obvious to everybody except for me? Oh no! Boom. You get sucked right in.
Yeah, I feel like this, that truth has been drawing me to it. Drawing me to love, that's what truth is trying to draw me to.
Yes.
And my favorite story about this is years and years ago, 40 years ago, I went to a library sale of books, and of course the Miracles Three hard call was there, and something in me said, buy that, and I said, okay. I had no idea what it was, and I didn't even ever use it until that one little class with Sue. But something said, buy it, and I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
I think that was my first drawing to this particular book.
Gently overwhelming. Interesting quality. Cecily, what's something that you see with your mind?
Well, I agree so much with what everybody else said, and I've had so many thoughts, but I think the biggest word is just like a knowingness.
Mm.
And I also, since I've been coming here to the little barn studio, when I practice my lessons at home or do meditations or visualizations, I just like, I have this image of going inside and like opening a little door to my heart, like a little wooden door, and then I go down this path, which is this little path out here, and then I come in here with all of you, and it's just this like image that kind of like came to me, and comes to me often, and it's very comforting. It's just like, I just imagine that, and it's just, it's not something I even tried to imagine. It just kind of like came into my head. So I see that as a different kind of as an example of vision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a feeling that goes with it. There's a transportation that goes with it. You sort of somehow, even though your body is not moving, you're moving. as this visualization begets vivid, and all of us just went with you, by the way. We all did. Every word she said filled in the movie, and we went with you.
Yes, that's true.
A movement where you moved, but your body did not. Good. Thank you. Beautiful. Brother John.
Well, you can really envision whatever you want.
Right?
But it's like a special, personal, abstract, creative endeavor, which is spells space.
Yeah.
So that's how you can remember it.
Say it again.
Special, personal, abstract, creative endeavor.
Space.
Space.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I had time to think about it.
It's good.
And say something.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that any creative act is going to be a use of your mind.
Yeah.
You're taking something that's not there, and you're bringing it into, you're realizing it. That's creativity, right? If it's already there, it's not creative. So realizing it that way is definitely a use of the mind. You see it. You visualize it. If you're a musician, you might start to hear it cobble together, and it locks in. And it's realized before it's realized. Beautiful. Nice. Okay, jump into page 427 in the text. First half of the book, page 427. Let's take a look at paragraph 8. Now, this is a little, this paragraph is a kind of a side note to the topic that we're on. The gift of lilies. This is adding in an extra message for you. And the overall, the message we're talking about is we're seeing the other person that appears to be there, seeing them as a bridge back to your sanity instead of a reason for insanity. Instead of a problem, they are the solution. As good or as bad as your ego may have formed them, the Holy Spirit will have you give them a gift of lilies in your mind and translate what they're doing with understanding. And then that, what was a block to your happiness and your peace, becomes a way to return your happiness and your peace. If you do it right, you'll owe them gratitude when it's all over. I said when it's over, not in the middle. Sometimes it's kind of ugly in the middle. Because the ego and the Holy Spirit, and you're choosing one and then the other. That's what a mess. But when it's done, if you let the Holy Spirit prevail, gratitude will be the only thing in your heart. That's the gift of lilies. Now, let's read paragraph 8. You ready?
Okay. Your chosen home is on the other side, beyond the veil. Has been carefully prepared for you and is ready to receive you now. You will not see it with the body's eyes, yet all you need, you have. The home has called to you since time began, nor have you ever failed entirely to hear. You heard, but knew not how to look, nor where. And now you know.
What? Say that again.
And now you know. Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Okay. Oh, period. Wait. Yeah, you're right, Julie. And now you know. Wake up. Short sentence. 428 pages in. And now you know. You can't actually deny it anymore. You come this far in this book, you read every page, and you've struggled, and you've sweated and laughed and cried, and you finally get, and it says, and now you know, you're like, well, yeah, I do. That's what happened to me. I circled it. I said, wow, you got me. I don't feel like knowing this, but the fact is, there is another way. There is another me. And it's been calling since the moment there were moments. It's been calling. Yeah. Let's continue.
No, it's not even just calling. It's also like you have no choice, but once you start hearing a little bit, you're being drawn and drawn and drawn, and you can't. You can stop and get off that railroad track a little bit, off that train a little bit, but it's calling you to get back on and keep going.
Yes.
It's like you have to go. You can't stop.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there's this phrase in the Bible, the course corrects, so, you know, it's, all are called, but few have chosen, is the way the course says it. All are called. It says many are called in the Bible. Jay, you know that quote in the Bible? Are you a Bible nut?
I'm not a Bible nut, but I know the many are chosen, few respond.
Yeah, right? It's in there, yeah.
But I think once you get started, once you listen to it the first time, I don't think you can stay off of that train for very long.
Once you touch the holy instant, there is no turning back.
That's it.
You want to go? It's time to read that, page 387? Well, let's let him finish. Let's finish this paragraph, and we'll go visit.
Okay.
It's so important, this paragraph. And now you know.
Yeah.
Period.
In you the knowledge lies, ready to be unveiled and freed from all the terror that kept it hidden.
All the terror that kept it hidden. The blocks to the awareness of love's presence. The terror that kept it. Go ahead.
There is no fear in love. The song of Easter is a glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness, and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together.
Oh. You hear the angels singing. Heaven in this book is another word for knowledge. For knowing. You rest with knowledge.
I notice with that one, the word faith. We say, now you know. But you know that because you have faith. I couldn't explain to you why I know.
Yeah, right.
You know, I have faith, but yeah, I do. Tell me about it. I don't know. It's like I couldn't really explain why, but I don't know.
Well, then there's no turning back.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
you kind of know. Like you said, you kind of know. And I've seen you go through this. I've watched you go through it here at more and more levels as you started trusting the Holy Spirit in you and making decisions with the Holy Spirit instead of your past learning. Chose not to let that be your guide, but let this new Holy Spirit thing help you step back, take a breath. I've seen you gain this power.
Yeah, it's like when I'm going, well, I don't really know. That's my ego stepping in. When he steps in, I can't answer the question. But when you just forget about it, and you're just going to go, and you're just going to, you know, the answer is going to come to you. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
Then it happens, but it's such a different
concept
from the ego that we're still thinking with that stupid ego.
Yep.
And it's a transition. Stop that, then, oh yeah, of course I do.
It's a transition. So what happens is when you finally step back. When you step back, it takes courage to step back. The ego says, go now. Make them guilty, and then you'll be innocent. Go. Now's your chance. Holy Spirit says, whoa, don't get in the mud. Don't get all wrapped up in attack and defense. Step back. Be transported. Do it again. Do it again. Be transported. Find the power, the silent power in you, that will pull you with wise pauses or words, but it won't be the same you that got you into the battleground. Let's go to page 387. It's time to take a look again.
Andrew, real quick, what is meant by Easter in this book? I've seen it mentioned a lot.
Well, it's mentioned a few times, and in particular, during the month that it was being scribed. I was actually April, in the time of Easter, and Helen was scribing it. And you can go to the Ur text and you'll see the dates on the paragraphs. So sometimes that's what it is. And Easter is also, you know, it's a term in Christianity of when, Jesus actually was, you know, entombed and got up. He was thought to be dead, and then he wasn't dead. What happened?
Resurrection.
So it was
a resurrection time. It was a resurrection. It was thought to be. That's why I said the Son of God was not crucified. The body was crucified, and there was blood in the whole bit. But there's something else that was not crucified, not killed. And this is the message of the crucifixion. And the Course says it beautifully. It says, this is a quote about that whole crucifixion thing. He says, "Teach not that I died, comma, but that I live in you." That's the resurrection in your mind. You are. He is through you. Always has. Yes. Let's go to 387 and read about this kind of thing, this holy instant. Been a while since we've been there. Okay, 387, paragraph 11. Who's up the bat? Bridget? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
"Everyone has experienced what he would call a sense of being transported beyond himself. This feeling of liberation far exceeds the dream of freedom sometimes hoped for in special relationships. It is a sense of actual escape from limitations. If you will consider what this is, transportation, really entails, you will realize that it is a sudden unawareness of the body and a joining of yourself and something else in which your mind enlarges to encompass it. It becomes part of you as you unite with it, and both become whole, as neither is perceived as separate. What really happens is that you have given up the illusion of a limited awareness and lost your fear of union. The love that instantly replaces it extends to what has freed you and unites with it. And while that this lasts, you are not uncertain of your identity and would not limit it. You have escaped from your fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting it. You have accepted this instead of the body and have let yourself be one with something beyond it, simply by not letting your mind be limited by it."
Simply by not letting your mind be limited by it, the body. Oh, let me read that back to you a little bit. "And while this sense of freedom lasts, while you allow this transportation that has occurred to last, you're not uncertain of your true identity. And while this lasts, you would not limit this identity that feels so free." Ah, you've been transported, you've been moved beyond limit, beyond, beyond, beyond. You have escaped from fear to peace, asking no questions of reality, but merely accepting reality. So easy is it to accept in that open, spacious, transported, fully loving ease of mind that is the holy instant. You've all been there. At one point in what time in your life, if not during the workbook lessons, you felt this shift occur and your shoulders dropped and you breathed easy and you felt at peace. This is the forgotten song. This is the true peace. This is your true identity of what you actually are outside of the box of being a limited body. It's the goal of meditation. People sit for a long time eating only rice, sitting in an orange robe in a cave, just completely isolated from the world, just so you can have nothing. Just so you can have not the world for an instant and see what that's like. Oh, it was good. It was good. What was it like? It was like nothing you've ever had. It was nothing. I was spacious for a moment. I was free. How long did it take you? Oh, about 16 years, 20 hours a day. That's why it works. The Course says, you know, if that's what you want and that's the way you do it, that'll work. Or you could just come into right now. You'll need some courage to step back. To really step back and get present, you need courage to actually do nothing. Oh boy. But this describes what happens. You know, see, I mean, there's a bunch of places. Go to text page 657. There's another place where it describes this. Some of what you do with A Course in Miracles. You can spend all night talking about this. We'll spend a little bit of time. Patricia, when you get there, page 657.
657.
Yep, paragraph 8. This is a whole set. It's a great section. This whole section is just amazing. But paragraph 8 for now.
The concept of the self is meaningless, for no one here can see what it is for, and therefore cannot picture what it is. Yet is all learning that the world directs, begun and ended with the single aim of teaching you this concept of yourself, that you will choose to follow this world's laws and never seek to go beyond its roads nor realize the way you see yourself.
Can you feel the box sort of closing in around you there a little bit?
Now must the Holy Spirit find a way to help you see this concept of the self must be undone. If any peace of mind is to be given you, nor can it be unlearned except by lessons aimed to teach that you are something else. For otherwise, you would be asked to make exchange of what you now believe for total loss of self, and greater terror would arise in you.
Uh-oh. It will absolutely be a shift in your identity. Absolutely, there will be a shift in your identity. Let's jump to page 312.
Andrew, can I say something?
Oh, absolutely.
This makes me think of the Forgotten Song, some of the words in it about how, you know, we feel that we were giving up what we've got in this life, in this illusion, and that, you know, that's the fear of fully letting go, is that it's like you have to give it up in order to get everything. You have to give up the little bit you've got in order to get everything, and it's a scary proposition because you don't know for sure. I mean, you know, but you don't, like, have it, and you have to give up the little bit you have to get everything, but there's like a transition period.
Yes, that's beautiful. In that section, the words are actually the little you think you have. And it says, you're not asked to give up the little you think you have. you really have nothing. You're holding on, cherishing nothing, a dream. And while you're using both hands to hold this thing so close to your eyes, you can't see beyond your hands. Everything. It is so true. We've raised blocks to the awareness of everything. And we think we have something precious to hold on to. That will not be taken from you. Because it can't be. I can't take nothing from you. It's nothing. So don't worry, you can hang on to that as long as you like.
And the other thing, like, I've been reading about a lot about the special relationship in here and the concept of, like, you know, let's say you really want, like, a relationship with somebody, like, you, like, think you're in love with someone, you want them, and you're like, I just want that, I need to have that, that's what will make me happy. And it's like, it says, you know, we're willing to give up everything. Yes. Like, if we just, like, allow what's supposed to happen for this one thing that we think is going to, like, make us happy. Everything. Like, we're willing to give up everything for this one little thing. Like, that's ridiculous. Right?
So busted.
Yeah.
So busted, yes. Yeah. It's silly. Yeah. And yet how easy it happens.
Happens all the time.
How often do you actually do what you don't want to do? Or says that a couple of times. Yeah. Good busting. Good ego busting there.
I love all the car ads on the TV.
Yeah.
They're like, oh man, you just buy this car and everything is going to be great, you know. Surfing every day.
Oh, yeah.
Chick.
Yeah.
You got to just be the man.
Yeah.
Know? Or the woman. Cracks me up.
Oh, thank God for advertisers. We never
need a home. Car ad, well, you alone are driving down the road. Always.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. There's no traffic in the car ad.
No
thought about that.
No talking traffic. Oh,
no cops.
It's not the brand new Isuzu in L.A. traffic.
The wide world.
I mean, I-5.
All those people bought into it. Now they're like,
it's like Highway 1 sweeping the curves. That's what I'm telling you.
Right, exactly.
Busted again. Turn to page.
You know, I spent the commercials.
Turn to page 312, and let's look at paragraph one. Just look at paragraph one, Jeff. When you're ready, page 312, paragraph one.
Taking a second. Paragraph.
Just the first one.
Okay, 309, 312, paragraph one.
The holy instant and special relationships. The holy instant is the Holy Spirit's most useful learning device for teaching you love's meaning. For its purpose is to suspend judgment entirely. Love that. Mm-hmm. Judgment always rests in the past, for past experience is the basis on which you judge. Judgment becomes impossible without the past, for without it you do not understand anything. You would make no attempt to judge, because it would be quite apparent that to you that you do not understand what anything means. You are afraid of this because you believe that without the ego, all world would be chaos. Yet I assure you that without the ego, all world would be love.
Oh. It's just printed there in black and white. And you know it's true!
It is.
That makes me, it begs the question of, yeah, we know it's true.
Yep.
Okay, so that's cool. But then don't we also know that the ego's true?
Mm-hmm. We trust the ego, but we know there's love. See, the problem is that with the ways of the ego, you know something that's not true. But you know the ego. And you know anger. You know fear. You know guilt. You know a sense of being lonely or alone. You know these things, but they're not true. Yet you know them dearly. See, that's the problem. You know things that aren't true. That's why we need to meet, to call it out and bust the ego and laugh at it a bit. Otherwise, you're going to cry. And when you cry about those things, you seem to make them more real. We're here to bust them and laugh them off. Thank you. Yeah, critical what we're doing. You know, let's just spend a few more minutes on this, because it's been a while since we visited this whole idea, this whole transportation thought with the... But it's part of what vision does. You have these are invisible things that you do, not visible with your eyes. These are invisible things. Just turn two more pages to page 315. 315. Let's start up at... let's just jump to paragraph 5. Yeah, start at 5 and don't read the previous paragraph. Don't do it. Don't read the don't do it.
Giant
I know
line.
It's highlighted. You know, it's a very juicy, controversial, even interesting paragraph. Don't go there tonight. Start with 5. Kenny, are you reading?
No.
Julie, paragraph 5.
Great. In the world of scarcity, love has no meaning, and peace is impossible. For gain and loss are both accepted, and so no one is aware that perfect love is in him. In the holy instant, you recognize the idea of love in you, and unite this idea with the mind that thought it, and could not relinquish it. By holding it within itself, there is no loss. The holy instant...
Okay, wait, you gotta read that sentence again.
By holding it within itself... There is no loss. The holy instant thus becomes a lesson in how to hold all of your brothers in your mind, experiencing not loss, but completion. From this it follows you can only give. And this is love. For this alone is natural under the laws of God. In the holy instant, the laws of God prevail, and only they have meaning. The laws of this world cease to hold any meaning at all, and the Son of God accepts the laws of God as what he gladly wills. It is impossible that he be bound or limited in any way.
Out of the box you go.
In that instant is he free, as free as God would have him be. For the instant he refuses to be bound, he is not bound.
That's just how it is. That's just how it is.
Well, that's nice to...
It's nice.
That's something I've had a difficult time with, is the love, and the love here, and what real love is, and how you were talking about fear and all the other emotions not being true, but we're kind of just born into that, and we believe it, but yep. They're not true. And so I've found that love was kind of in that as well. That it came from mostly special love. And so, very frustrating for me to try to love when I, you know, when I don't trust it.
Yeah.
And that's been a big block for me going through all of this stuff.
Yes.
And just realizing that it's very different love. Yes. When you do go in and connect with God.
Indeed.
And that just helped.
Beautiful.
With that.
Yes, it is, Bridget. Yes, yeah. It is.
I was kind of on to it, but I needed...
You were definitely on to
it.
It's nice to have the promise and the encouragement in writing. Because what you're doing is departing from the way you've been trained all your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right from the get-go.
Right from the get-go. But it's time. It's time. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah, we're going for a love with a capital letter. We're going for a love that can actually love your enemy naturally. That makes no sense at all. An enemy means there's no love. Who wrote this book? In the ego's love, it's special and conditional, but it's not love. It's not home. It's not what you are. So it'll be very chaotic, because you are called to love. It's what you are. You are love. But you're pretending not to be. You're pretending to find love through fear and guilt and selectivity.
They're going in all the wrong places.
Oh, yeah, how's it going? They're writing country songs about it.
Yeah. Love hurts, love stinks, love is a battlefield. Right. Just straight right off the top of my head. Popular songs.
Yeah, how's it working for you? Yeah. Yeah. And what's that Dashboard Light song? I was
Paradise by the Dashboard
Light. I would love you to the end of time, and now that we're married, I'm waiting for the end
Praying
of time.
For the end of time.
Praying for the end of time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was that, Meatloaf or something?
Meatloaf,
like that?
Yeah. Well, there's more. New girl, you want to read?
I was just checking out for a moment, thinking about going to sleep.
All right, you can go to sleep too.
Of what paragraph?
Paragraph 6.
Okay. Paragraph 6.
On page 315.
Thank you for awaking me
Wait.
Up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're welcome. Welcome back.
In the holy instant, nothing happens that has not always been.
Ooh, I love it. Say it again, just to celebrate that.
Yes. In the holy instant, nothing happens that has not always been. Only the veil that has been drawn across reality is lifted. Nothing has changed, yet the awareness of changelessness comes swiftly as the veil of time is pushed aside.
That's part of that transportation. This awareness of changelessness, somehow now you can see it and you love it. The ego's afraid of this stuff. But when you're in your right mind, it's where freedom and love actually is. It's a whole different way of being outside the box. Please continue.
No one who has not yet experienced the lifting of the veil and felt himself drawn irresistibly into the light behind it can have faith and love without fear. Yet the Holy Spirit gives you this faith because He offered it to me and I accepted it. Fear not, the holy instant will be denied you, for I denied it not. And through me, the Holy Spirit gives it unto you as you will give it. Now see, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
You see the circle.
Yes.
As you give, you receive. Yeah.
Yes. Let no need you perceive obscure your need of this, for in the holy instant, you will recognize the only need the sons of God share equally, and by this recognition, you will join with me in offering what is needed.
Whoa, for in the holy instant, you will recognize the only need the sons of God share equally. And by this recognition, you will join with me in offering what is needed. Always what is needed is love. This interconnection that is what you are, that's been actively denied long enough. Oh my God, is there more? There's more. Jay, bring us the next paragraph.
It is through us that peace will come.
Now when he says us, it's this joining, it's in your mind. It's a recognition. These are all words. Jesus is made up. You're made up. Holy Spirit is made up. God is made up. But since you're so addicted to separation and words and terms, we're going to use them here. So now, us is a joining word. It is when our minds are thinking the same way. That's the us. just means the truth, the part of your mind that has recognized that it can actually abide in oneness and still be. We call that Jesus in this book. All it is part of your mind. It actually knows it can abide with oneness with the source. That's all. So when your mind actually goes into a holy instant and connects with that, it's us. Please continue.
Join me in the idea of peace, for in ideas, minds can communicate. If you would give yourself as your Father gives His self, you will learn to understand selfhood. And therein is love's meaning understood. But remember that understanding is of the mind and only of the mind.
Bing, bing, bing.
Knowledge is therefore of the mind, and its conditions are in the mind with it. If you are not an idea, and nothing but an idea, you could not be in full communication with all that ever was.
Yeah.
Yet as long as you prefer to be something else, or would attempt to be nothing else and something else together, you will not remember the language of communication, which you know perfectly.
Well, this is typical Course in Miracles, laying it on for you. I mean, it's the absurdity of what you're doing, and it can be a little hard to read it. But from the perspective of one's mind, of the mind that's healed, it's exactly what's going on. You're actually pretending to be something else than what you are, and it's nothing. Huh. There's more. Walt, you want to read for us, paragraph 8.
In the holy instant, God is remembered, and the language of communication with all of your brothers is remembered with Him.
So when this transportation occurs and your head goes into this spaciousness that we talked about, where you're sort of beyond the body for a few moments, God is remembered. There's a moment there where the body is not present. See? The only other place you could be when you're not in your body is in God. It's a very, very simple, empowered state of connection where your mind is actually available now to be beyond the body and communicate beyond the body. It's a very simple moment of openness where you're not focused on the body. It's happened in small periods throughout your life, and now with Course in Miracles it happens intentionally. And you can actually hold on to it a little longer because you did it. Let's continue.
For communication is remembered together as its truth. There is no exclusion in the holy instant because the past is gone, and with it goes the whole basis for exclusion. Without its source, exclusion vanishes.
The opposite of separation, right? I mean, separation and exclusion is the same sort of thing. So we're talking about going the opposite of exclusion, opposite of differences, opposite of separation, is oneness. Please continue.
And this permits your source and that of all your brothers to replace it in your awareness. God and the power of God will take their rightful place in you, and you will experience the full communication of ideas with ideas. Through your ability to do this, you will learn what you must be, for you will begin to understand what your Creator is and what His creation is along with Him.
Way beyond what the body's eyes see. And that sets us up. Sorry to rush you, but that sets us up for page 428, paragraph 9. Good night. 428, paragraph 9.
I'm sorry, Andrew, what page?
428 in the text. 428. Kenny, what page?
It's 428.
Yeah.
Paragraph 9.
I think that's effective. You know, everybody knows now. I can say it, but when Kenny says it, yes. Now we know.
And the paragraph before went 7,
Yeah.
Sentence 7, 9, and 11 is all about love.
Yeah.
That's what we're reading tonight.
That's what we were reading tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Roman, you read for us paragraph 9?
Would you not have your body... Let me start over. Would you not have your holy brother lead you there? His innocence will light your way, offering you its guiding light and sure protection, and shining from the holy altar within him, where you lay the lilies of forgiveness.
Yeah, because we're short on time, we're just going to work this as we go, as live. So, look at that sentence that she just read. What is the key to being transported with your brother? What is the key that's given to us in that sentence that allows your ass-holy brother to be your holy brother?
Forgiveness.
Say it again.
His innocence.
His innocence. Mm. His innocence. That you would see the innocence behind the horrible things he did, said, keeps doing, will say tomorrow.
He's not doing them. He's doing them for you. It's you looking at a symbol of yourself. And
yes.
He's that symbol's innocent.
You would be using your own past and your own idea of what the future should be, which comes from your past thoughts about what's supposed to be going on here, that you're using to make him guilty. And to make him sinful. Yes. You are actually looking at your own box, prison.
Guilt.
And therefore, guilt.
Mm-hmm. Or projections?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Your projection. You're projecting the prison bars that you are stuck behind. Because he's supposed to be.
This one I find is a very hard one to deal with, because it's like, you know, it's all this bunch of little stuff all crammed into one. It's like it's several little ideas.
Yes, yes.
And it's like you realize that, oh, we made this rule book.
That's right.
There is a rule book we made, and you're breaking the rules.
Yep.
I made them, and we're attacking them because they broke the rules we made up.
Yep.
Get rid of the rules.
Yep. And the whole situation is this complex mass with a foundation of your history and his history and the laws of the land and every TV show you ever watch and what your parents did, blah, blah, on and on and on and on.
It's just a ton of stuff.
And that supports you judging him.
It's like, I'm looking at him, you gotta do this, baby, you gotta do this. And it's like, man, this is kind of tough. But
just call him guilty?
Yeah, the words that I now found is forgiveness. And
yeah.
Forgiveness is the coolest thing once I started really practicing it.
Wow.
It is cool.
Yeah.
And it's not like I have to go find these people and forgive them and do good. You know, it's not that shit that I learned before that was spooky and didn't want anything to do with.
Yep.
It's silently in my mind dumping the rule book.
Yep. To forgive them is a lie.
Yeah.
Because they're guilty.
Like I made the book. I made the rules.
To forgive your thoughts about them.
Yeah.
This you can do.
Yeah.
This you can honestly do.
It is.
It's all about you. It's up to you. How do you want to live the next few minutes? Do you want to be damning and guilty, looking for a way to punish? Is that how you want to live your life?
But when you do that, forgiveness really kind of just dissolves all that stuff.
The stuff. All that stuff is... And that stuff is really well-founded. It's founded in the world. But it dissolves for you.
Without even really knowing what it all is. You know, don't even go into trying to figure it all out.
The whole point is you go beyond it. You go beyond it.
To knowing the innocence.
To knowing the innocence, because you recognize love in this holy instant thing when you go there. It gives you the perspective to see it everywhere. You go above the battleground. When you're not in love or in a holy instant or above the battleground, you're geared up for battle and you're probably middle fighting. And you'll probably duck and weave and stab the best you can. Because that's where you are. You're in the world. You're in the box. Using your eyes. Yes?
So basically, when you finally figure out what forgiveness is all about, you finally get to realize, you find a true forgiveness. And then it's like, when you wake up, you're also waking up to the... You see the love.
Yes.
And it is just that person all in one.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And it's not your trying, it's honesty.
Yeah, and it's just like, I guess it just happens one day.
It just, that's correct.
You know, and you always try to do it, but always just keep practicing, keep practicing, and it'll just happen.
It just happens. One day it happens, and you'll find yourself that you've forgiven and you forgot to try. That's true forgiveness. Because a miracle happened. You saw the person, as ugly as it is, calling for love. Four-letter words, your name in between, graphic, you got it, and you saw it differently. You saw that they were actually not attacking you. What they were is running from their own fear, trying to find comfort and love by stealing from you, by hating on you, by yelling at you. That's what they did, but that's not what they were doing. That's the miracle. That's how you shift out of hate into love. As that happens, whole new game. You're available to love them now. Before, you had to defend yourself. Now you're available to love them. Yeah, let's continue. Whenever you're ready, Walt.
Oh, it's Luann.
Oh, Luann? Luann.
Let him be to you the savior from illusions.
Woo!
And look on him with a new vision that looks upon the lilies and brings you joy. We go beyond the veil of fear, lighting each other's way. The holiness that leads us is within us, as is our home. So will we find what we were meant to find by him who leads.
Yes. Like that.
Right. And him who leads is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Which is part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. You would appeal to part of your own mind that's still connected to the truth, patiently waiting for you to step back. Go still for a moment so you can hear this perfectly quiet voice. And everything changes. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath and recognize that if your thoughts are thinking with the body, you're in a box. If you're using your eyes, you're in a box. You can close your eyes, go into your mind, and step out of time, step out of space, and find yourself in a holy instant, a moment of eternity, a moment where you and your freedom are realized. And it's by doing nothing. You know this is true. You know that if you go absolutely still, you're there. You know that you will be transported. Your whole reality shifts when you do actually nothing. But when you do, your mind immediately searches for the spiritual eye. Love flows in into that moment and transports you beyond the limits. How did you do it? You did nothing for just an instant. This is how you open your eye to vision. Thank you, thank you, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you. You're welcome.
Wow.
Hey, dude.
What was your name, though?
I was going to say, now I
know. Julie.
Oh, Julie.
I was going to say,
I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going